Heavenly Father, Almighty God, it's me again, Lord. It's me again, Lord, Tom L. Bondi, sinner of sinners. But now, thanks to your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, who in obedience to thee went to Calvary's cross, where he was blasphemed and whipped and spat upon, all because of sinners like me. Though I sense that the time is near at hand, O Lord, I shall not waver, but hold fast to that faith once given unto the saints. By your holy permission and through your authority, O Lord, I bring forth the following message that you have placed in this servant's heart. I ask now for utterance from above, Lord. Please, God, go before me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the title I've given my message today is quite simple, actually. Right to the point, you might say. The end of self. The end of self. A long time ago, when my entire life was centered around everything I thought I was and all that I wanted to be, a time when Catholicism had chewed me to the bone and was about to spit me out. Why? Because I had grown tired of telling my sins to a guy dressed totally in black. Because I had watched a little old lady wearing a doily on her head fall to her knees and lick a wafer off the floor because she was told it was the body of Christ. Because Jesus Christ was the best way to heaven. But not the only way. Thank God. Thank you, Lord, that those days are gone forever. Thank you for saving my soul. As a child, not yet in my teens, I was afraid to enter into the confessional and there smell the stench of liquor and smoke from the breath of a would-be servant of God who sexually molested my closest friend by telling him it was God's perfect will. We were Catholics. Oh yes, we were Catholics, all right. Right from the get-go. There was no other religion. No other way to heaven except by the way of the Catholic Church. And whatever the priest said, my mama believed, even though she was not a Catholic herself. You gotta believe, she said, what the priest tells you. He wouldn't lie to you. My mama never took me to church. But because all my relatives seemed to be Catholic, were in that little town we lived in back in Nova Scotia, that seemed to be the dominant religion. So that's where she made me go. And my brothers, but they didn't hang in there very long. They were older than me. Whatever the priest said, Mama said, you got to believe that. A searching heart, That's what the Protestants used to say. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and the door will open. I didn't know how to pray when I was a Catholic. Just sit there and let someone else pray for me. We weren't allowed to read the Holy Bible because we would never be able to understand it. Seek and ye shall find. Yes, seek and ye shall find. All right. The more I sought, the more I found. Oh, yes. Until one day, the bottom rusted out of my Catholic bucket. And everybody had a clearer view. Everybody had a clearer view of its ungodly interior. In the book of John 6, verse 37, we read the answer, but we were not permitted to read the Bible. Not then, but now it's my closest and dearest companion. Back then, they said, we couldn't understand it. Then teach me. Jesus said unto his disciples at Capernaum, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I spent quite a few days searching, but there was no intermediate, no in-between this time. Just me, my Bible, and Jesus. You know, that's where you have to be. You, your Bible, and Jesus. All together. The first verse I learned in my Bible was John 3:16. And I suppose if you're saved, you know what that is right off your heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should never perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting. Everything else began to fall into place once I got my eye on the Word. And I got on my knees and I called out to God. In the name, the mighty name of Jesus. Give me direction, God. Lead me. I want to serve you. Lead me. And God took me aside, he did. And there was more. Oh, yes, so much more. I took some lowly jobs trying to sell cars. Oh, I remember it well. It was no go right from the go. It meant cheating. So I stopped selling cars and began washing them instead. But God had more in store. Oh, yes. God had more in store. He sent me to a senior's residence outside. Just outside of town. Now this would be my mission field for the next several years. That nursing home. Visiting the elderly and dying and feeding them the gospel of salvation. This is where God wanted me to go. This is where God sent me. This is where he placed me for 7 long years. Visiting the elderly and dying and feeding them the gospel of Jesus Christ. I must tell you right here, this was the most rewarding work I have ever done. And only the beginning. Being born again? Why? Isn't once enough? That's what they would say. Not if we believe in Romans 3, verses 10 to 12. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Read it for yourself. Romans 3, verses 10 to 12. How many out there are thinking or saying, well, this certainly doesn't apply to me. I understand. I seek after God. If this is your attitude, then you will never find the God of your salvation. No, never. I always had a searching heart. Do you? Do you have a searching heart? I always had a searching heart from as young as I can recall. Wasn't always for God, but it was always to know the truth. What's out there? Why is it there? How did it get there? My mama wasn't good at giving me answers. Oh, stop asking foolish questions, Tommy. You don't have to know that stuff. Where the sun and the moon came from. Well, the more you know, the better off you're going to be. Especially if it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It came to things of God, and I remember his method of teaching his newborn children. It seems like yesterday that I was there washing cars at a local dealership down east. Only yesterday, it seems. But I won't forget it, and here's why. During my break time, I would sit on the steel girder fence out back of the building. I wanted to be alone with the Lord. It was noisy and troublesome inside the building. And I would read some of the devotions my church had given me. And one day in particular, God taught me something new that I had never, never forgotten. Though very simple it was, yet something I had paid no mind to before. No, never gave it a thought. Just let nature pass me by. Along the fence line, that steel fence line, had grown a mass of long-stemmed weeds. Now, everybody knows what weeds look like, right? Weeds are weeds. Weeds they were just an eyesore, actually, if found in someone's backyard. But here nobody paid any mind to them because they weren't in the way. They were on the downslope on the other side of the fence. But I sat on the fence and I looked at them. Now that might sound funny. Boy, where's this guy going? What's he trying to tell us anyway? He was, during his break, he'd go out and sit on a steel fence and look at the weeds growing. Well, get ready. That's true. I would go out during my break, and I would. I would sit on that fence, that steel girder fence, and I would observe something that God wanted me to see very carefully, very carefully. Now, I had paid no mind to it before, but this day was special. Along the fence line, these weeds, that great mass of weeds, right along the fence line, long-stemmed weeds, if you will, weeds that were, well, they're just an eyesore, especially if, you know, if you had them in your yard, you'd want to chop them down. Maybe you'll think again after you hear this. As usual, well, birds of several varieties, they would attempt to light on the lengthy stems. They would attempt to light on the lengthy stems of the weeds. You can visualize that, can't you? And try to feed on the seedy pods. However, most of the larger birds, well, they could find no support. They could not find support on the delicate stems. It wouldn't hold them. Therefore, they could not feed. Well, that ain't fair, is it? Well, hang in there. Then God helped me to realize. I mean, really, he had a lesson to teach me. This was all a part of God's plan. Wow, where are we going here? Weeds and birds, all a part of God's plan? Oh, yes. You see, the larger fowl of the air had to go elsewhere to find feeding ground, because the stems of the weeds could not support their weight, so they could feed. But the tiny sparrows and the chickadees were easily supported by the delicate stems and could feed until they were content. Content. Had their fill. What a sight to behold. Oh, what a blessing it was, and it might sound so insignificant to people. I was truly blessed. Oh, what a sight. How God looked after His creation. And we sometimes wonder, how is it possible that certain things or beasts or birds or whatever can survive, especially in the cold Arctic winters? How? By God's perfect will. God's perfect will. That's what I thought. How great is God? I had given my life, and how much more I meant to Him than the tiny sparrows. Yes, that's the way it is, folks. You mean more to God than the tiny sparrows. But He uses the tiny sparrows to show you that He is there. And if you'll do this for a tiny sparrow, think what He will do for you. Are you getting it? Are you? I pray so. Oh, I had given my life. And it took tiny sparrows to help lift me up when I was feeling down. Then there was that cold day, really bitterly cold day. I shall never forget it. It was in the middle of winter. I think it was January around there. Anyway. Cold, Arctic cold, when I was returning from giving the gospel at the seniors' home outside of town. And I come in the house, and I went upstairs, and I sitting at the table by the window with my wife, Catherine. Now, it was nearing twilight. Okay? The sun had gone down, and it was starting to get a little bit dark outside. And I had not eaten much that day or the day before. And as I came into the house. I noticed across the alleyway there was a single sparrow. Now you might think I'm getting wacky here, I'm just going to the birds, eh? Well, I'm going to tell you, I learned a lot about the things of God by examining and watching closely His provision, what He has put before our eyes. And it's so simple. If you only have faith, the faith of even a mustard seed. But I remember very well. We were sitting at the breakfast table or the dinner table. And that tiny sparrow was across the aisle or across the alleyway sitting on a window ledge of the house next door. And we looked at it, and I said, Catherine, that sparrow over there, look at him. It's so cold outside, I wish I could invite him in the house. And we were amazed to see that little bird, and we looked at him, and he was just kind of crouched down that ledge like he was going to get dark soon, and he wasn't going anywhere. He was going to stay there all night. And we got talking to ourselves or to each other, and it was apparent to us that it was so bitterly cold that night that poor little bird was going to freeze to death there in that alleyway on that window ledge. Well, you know something? I watched until it got dark, and that bird never moved anymore. As far as we were concerned, he was frozen, and all that needed to be done now was for him to fall down onto the ground. We watched him late into the evening till it got dark, and then we went to bed. And when we get up in the morning, I hastened to the window. I wanted to see, before it got too light, I wanted to see if the little sparrow was still there. And I looked and I said to my wife, look, he's still there. He's not moving. He's frozen to the ledge. Oh, poor little fella. And she conceded as well. He was frozen to the ledge. Oh, we said, Lord, oh Lord, why must these things be? And guess what? No sooner did we get the words out, the little sparrows flipped open his wings and fluttered like shaking the ice off of them. I said, look, it's a miracle, he's still alive. Oh, my. It was a miracle indeed. And these miracles still exist today if you'll only take time to look. That little bird, that little sparrow, he just fluttered his wings over and over again, shaking the ice and the cold off. And then suddenly he just took flight. Way we went up into the air and gone. Well, I looked at Catherine, and she looked at me, and her eyes widened. And the same thing was going through her mind that was going through mine. Isn't God wonderful? Isn't God wonderful? Look at what He's done for that tiny sparrow. He spared that little bird. Think of how much more He will do for us We were going through difficult times back then. And we were concerned what the next day would bring, you know. And we got such an uplift in our faith just by observing that little sparrow. It was just incredible. Just incredible. God was talking to us. And he was saying, how much more will I do for thee? Wow. Oh, how wonderful. You know, I was going back. I go back for just a second to the Kentucky Fried Chicken and the $5 bill I found blowing in the wind in the snowbank. You know, I took that money and I shoved it in my pocket and I hurried off to the nearest Kentucky Fried Chicken place, hoping it would still be open, and it was. No sooner had I licked my lips dry, my heart just seemed to bloom inside me, saying, thank God. Isn't God great? He'll let us go to the end of the line, but then he'll step in if you but have the faith of a mustard seed. And I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know, there was a lot of great things that God had shown me. And I'm nobody special. I'm no better than the next guy. But he showed me so much during those tender years when I was out trying to serve him. I got to know God so much. Getting to see God working in a heart that was willing to learn. If you ever doubt your salvation, if you don't notice all things are passing away, if you don't see that all things are becoming new, then maybe you have not fully surrendered to his perfect will. I often thought that working for God was somewhat akin to being like a news reporter. The news didn't always come to you, and it wasn't always good. You had to go to it. Everywhere you venture, everything you do, there is always a need to tell somebody, someone, about the gospel of Jesus Christ, what he's done in your life, everywhere. And don't worry about direction. God will show you the way. All you have to do is ask him and believe. As believers, well, we must start seeing the invisible. We must set our sights and affection on things above. Many have run the race before. Take Moses, for example. He exposed the truth. He endured tribulation, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He persevered, and when God took him out of his ministry, he was still going strong. Why? Because Moses overlooked the temporal by seeing the eternal. He overlooked the temporal by seeing only the eternal. How is it with you? Oh, I want to thank you for listening today. God bless you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.